All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. We are in John chapter number 10, Gospel of John chapter number 10. And if you find your place there, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word, and then Junior Church is dismissed. John chapter number 10, and let's stand together, and we are going to read 21 verses there in John chapter number 10, and this morning we're looking at the parable of the Good Shepherd. Our Lord Jesus spoke a parable, as he did many times, not to his friends, but actually to his enemies, explaining his position. In chapter number 10, verse number 1, we read there, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together in His Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we do have a shepherd this morning. We thank You that we have a shepherd for our souls. Lord, we thank You that we have a path of righteousness that is laid before us. Lord, we thank You that we can make the decision this morning that that we will follow our shepherd, that we can renew again the decision, that we would follow Him even more closely. Lord, I pray that You would be real to us this morning. May You speak to us through Your Word. And Lord, whatever situation, circumstance, whatever trial or whatever good time that we find ourselves in this morning, that we would just realize that You're there and Your guiding hand is there to lead us all the way. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. John chapter number 10, the religious leaders are very upset with Jesus. And they're very upset at Him for one reason. He healed the eyes of a blind man. And He did this on the Sabbath day. And one of the reasons why He did this is to prove that He was indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. Next week, God willing, we're going to get into Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13 has seven kingdom parables in it. And this is the Lord explaining to his sheep and confusing those that are not his sheep, the goats, as far as the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. One of the reasons why our Lord, we're going to see spoken parables, is that in seeing they may see not, in hearing they may hear not. Those who were hearing the Lord Jesus Christ did not want to be illuminated any further, and the Lord granted their request, and the Lord did not want to give those lost people who rejected him further damnation. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. The more of an understanding and illumination that you have of the Scripture of God, the more harder it will be for you on judgment if you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. John chapter 10 and verse number 1, Jesus explains his coming, that he is indeed the shepherd, the good shepherd. Verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he entereth in, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Psalmist says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, Psalms 23, the most comforting psalm. Psalm people want to hear at their sickbed. The psalm people want to hear at a funeral when people have departed, that the Lord is my shepherd. We understand one thing about life, especially in difficult circumstances and difficult situations, and in sickness, and in facing death, and also experiencing death about those that we love, that we are nothing more than sheep. We don't know what the future has in store, and we don't have this world figured out, and that we don't really know much about life, and we don't know much about relationships, and we don't know much about eternity, that we must have a guide, that we must have someone or something to follow. And the Bible says that there are many shepherds, but only one true shepherd. That there's many religious leaders, that there's many little Christ, that there's many little Jesuses that would come and say, follow me, I will deliver you, but there is only one true shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I come through the door of the sheepfold. The Old Testament, a third of it is prophecy concerning the Messiah that was to come. We see in the Old Testament, we see both the suffering Savior and we see the ruling Savior that was going to rule and reign there in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And our Lord Jesus, when he came, as the Bible says, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The Bible says that he fulfilled every jot and every tittle, every dotted I and every crossed T, that he fulfilled that law. He didn't come to destroy any of it, but he came to fulfill it. What we see in the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man, born of a virgin, born perfect and sinless and spotless, the Lamb of God, that the one Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Whether we realize it or not this morning, you and I need this shepherd. Now, David said this. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Even one of the best things that God can do for you and I, believer, is occasionally send us a wake-up call. How many know that they're going to die someday? But isn't it amazing that even though we kind of have this sense of reality, old person says, well, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. I want to ask you, why do you drive so slow then? I'm not ready to go. No one's ready to go. You know, we have those little moments, man, life flashes before our eyes. We have a near-death experience, or we get really sick or something, and we think, oh my goodness, I need help. I need help. we get in a disastrous circumstance or situation, and we're about to lose a job, and we have financial quandary, or something is falling apart, we think, oh my goodness, I need help. And the Bible says, here is what you need, is you need a shepherd. You need someone to guide you, and you need someone to instruct you, and you need someone who cares about you. The number one thing here that the Lord says about his shepherding is that he cares for the sheep, that he cares about you. And see, in order for you to dismiss his shepherding, one of the things that you'd have to do is dismiss his watch care over you. Look at verse number 3. It says, to him, to the true shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. He knows our name. Lord Jesus told his disciples that they were to take no thought on the morrow, that they were not to worry about things in the future, because even if a sparrow falls to the earth, the Heavenly Father knows about that sparrow. He attends that sparrow's funeral. And he says, don't worry, you're worth much more than many sparrows. The Bible tells us that he knows our down sittings, he knows our uprisings, he keeps our tears in a bottle. How great are his thoughts towards us, even as the sand of the sea. The Bible tells us that in our mother's womb, that he not only was watching over us, but he also formed us in our mother's womb to be exactly who he wanted and intended for us to be. You are the creation of God, that you are the work of God, that he made you for a distinct purpose, and that anything about you, perhaps that you don't like about your physical being, that God likes and he enjoys, and he made you in a particular way. I had an old guy here once that on Wednesday night, I have a Bible study, and down here, and I have the podium down here, it's a little more close, after service one Wednesday evening, he says, when you bend over, or when you lean over, look down, he says, I can see the bald spot on top of your head. Amen, Brother Tickle. Right? And I thought, you have to take that up with God. That's not my fault. What do you want me to do? Spray some of the spray and foam sprays? You know that, guess who made me bald? God did. Guess who made these ears to stick out? See, I had a plan, you know, when I was younger. It's like, you know, I was going to fill out when I get older to grow into my ears. You see? You know who made my ears stick out? It's God. You know who gave me the IQ? How many like a higher IQ? Make life a little bit easier. You know, actually the Bible tells us it's harder. You know, and much knowledge is much sorrow. So, you know, probably the greatest gift to you that God gave you was your ignorance, okay? But anyway, we think, oh man, it'd be so much nicer if I was smarter, I didn't have to work so hard at my job, or if I just had more skills, or if I just had a lovely voice, or if I was just more of a people person, or if I just had more energy during the day, if I just had this, if I just had that. But God made you to be exactly who you are, and it says that he knows his sheep by name, and so the intent there is that if he knows your name, he knows what you have need of, and he knows what would benefit you, and he is going to give his sheep what they need. It says that he leads them. He leads his sheep. A shepherd in Eastern culture, unlike cattle, unlike hogs, unlike many other livestock, that a shepherd goes before his sheep. And you can see a shepherd, can't you, in your mind's eye, as he has his staff, as he has his rod attached to him, as he has on his sheep garments there, and he would be going before his sheep in a pasture. And what would his sheep be doing? They would be behind him, and they would be following him. Jesus always goes before his saints. You know, you and I, we call ourselves Christians. Do you know that Jesus Christ has gone before your Christian life and has lived a Christian life that he intends for you to live, that he has been there? The Bible talks about our great high priest in the book of Hebrews that was tempted in all points like you and I are, yet without sin. It talks about those that are tempted, he is able to succor them through the temptation. He is saying, I will make a way of escape for you. Why? Because he has been there, that he has lived the Christian life, and that when he was here in the flesh, that he lived the way that you were supposed to live, and he went before you, and he lived before you, and he will lead you in the way that you're supposed to go. You know another thing about this leading is that God is not stuck in time this morning. You know, there's no difference. 1,000 years, what the Lord says, but one day, 1,000 years, that he does not experience time like you and I. You know what that means? Is that God has already been in tomorrow. He's already checked tomorrow out. And guess what, believer? Tomorrow's going to be just fine because God has already been there and he's already mapped that out for you. All you got to do as a sheep is follow the Savior. And we sing the song, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You know, that's all I have to do is follow him. Why? Because he not only cares for the sheep, he also has prepared a way before him. Now, another thing we see here, I want you to notice, is in verse number 4, it says something that is distinct, distinction about Christ's sheep. Verse 4, it says, they follow him, the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. The bottom of verse number 5, it says, they will not follow a stranger because they know not the voice of the stranger. It says in verse number 8, it says, thieves and robbers, his sheep, do not hear them. They do not follow thieves and robbers' voices. It says in verse number 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Do you know that a sheep, and a good shepherd knows the sheep, but you know that another thing is that the sheep also know the shepherd. That means there could be a lineup that if there was a flock of sheep, and let's say however many in this room, 40 of us or so, that we went down to the sheepfold and we said, come on sheep, follow me. Guess what? All the sheep would look at you and say, you ain't my shepherd. I'm not following you. I say, you try it. You go, come on, sheep. Here, sheep. And you can try all you want, but those sheep aren't going to budge because you are not their shepherd, and they do not recognize your voice. But if the voice of the shepherd calls to them, they will recognize it, and they will hear it, and they will follow the shepherd's voice. Let me ask you, who's the shepherd? Jesus. Does the shepherd have a voice? Yes. How do we know the shepherd? No, we know the shepherd by experiencing him through his word. Well, you know, the distinction again and again and again in Scripture is the mark of a believer will be hearing, they'll be hearers of the word of God. Now, Jesus said many times in his ministry, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, in the sheepfold, when those shepherds would lead there into the sheepfold in the evening, it'd be some sort of a circular fold with bramble bushes or perhaps stone all around the fold, and there would be a door. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Okay, and so the sheep would be put into the fold at night and many times mixed with other flocks. And so when the shepherd comes in and he calls his sheep, all the other sheep who do not follow this shepherd are going to stay right where they're at, but his sheep are going to hear his voice and they are going to follow him. And so when Jesus says to multitudes, as he preached to them, and at certain points of his ministry, multiple thousands of people were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, he that hath ears. Let me tell you something. Physically, every single one of those people had ears. Your mama said this to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Right? You hearing what I'm telling you? He says, hear he that hath ears to hear, he says, let him hear. The sheep know their master. The sheep know their shepherd, and the sheep delight in their shepherd's voice. You know that there's all sorts of things out there in the wilderness. There's thunderstorms. There's lightning across the sky. There's windy days. There's days when there would be wolves without. There's days where, as David fought a lion, he fought a bear. There'd be times where there would be disturbances among the sheep. But there's one thing that could calm those sheep, and that was the shepherd's voice. You know that you and your shepherd, you and God, are the majority. You know why he says, I am the good shepherd? He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. So if I know I have a shepherd this morning, and that he is not going to let anything harm me, I know that I am going to be safe and I'm going to be protected. Look at another thing here, verse number 9. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So he says there that if I have him as a shepherd, it says, I shall be saved, and I shall go in, and I shall go out, and I shall have pasture. Look at verse number 28. Let's look at verse 27-28. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them, give unto the sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So he says, my sheep will never be goats. You say, you Baptists believe once saved, always saved. And I don't like to use that terminology. I like to use the terminology the Bible gives. It says eternal life. You know how long eternal life lasts for? You know when the War of 1812 was? Okay. And eternal life lasts for how long? He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall sometimes perish. Is that what it says? It says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hey, guess what? That nobody, not the devil himself, is stronger than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what if a person that was received Christ as the shepherd all of a sudden decided that they didn't want him as a shepherd anymore? Would you please introduce me to that person? Because I have yet to meet someone who would say this, that I don't want to be saved anymore. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, when you put yourself in submission to his lordship and his shepherding over you, you never, you know, even in your most rebellious days, says, I'm going to forsake the Lord Jesus. I'm going to turn my back on him forever. And I was once at one time saved. No, you were saved as Judas Iscariot was saved. Okay? And so he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He says, your salvation is safe in my hand. Why? Because I'm your shepherd, and if someone's going to get to you, guess what? They're going to have to come through me. Any trial, any tribulation that you're going through right now, it's because of one reason. God allowed that. You know, God knows what's best. You know, I can rest in him because my shepherd knows what's best for me. Now, here's what it says in Psalms 23, that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He makes me to lay down in green pastures, but also he sets the table before me. Guess what? In the presence of mine enemies. Man, we have all sorts of enemies. We have the enemy of death. We have the enemy of persecution. We have the enemy of financial predicaments and financial situations. We have the enemy of disjointed relationships in our life. And it says that I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means whatever you face, you will be saved. And it says you'll go in and out and you'll find pasture. A few years ago, it was anniversary for the Titanic, and a bunch of books and things were republished, and then new books were written about the Titanic, and I read a couple of those myself, and I pretty much knew everything about it because I'd watched the movie. Just kidding. But anyway, I read some books about it, and there was an interesting fella, a saved man, who was pastor of Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and he went to England, and he was coming, were they headed to England? I can't remember, wherever the Titanic was headed. But he was a pastor of Moody Bible Church in Chicago. His name was John Harper. And John Harper, as the Titanic went down, he made sure, he says, women and children and the unsaved, get on the lifeboats. This was his call. The unconverted. Okay, women, children, and the unconverted. Now, John Harper went down into the waters, the chilly waters of the Titanic, and actually there was a man that he led to Christ while he was in the water. There's a man floating by him. He said that John Harper said to me, are you saved? And he says, no, I don't believe that I am. He says, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he says, they were separated. And he says, they came back together again. He says, have you called upon the Lord yet? And he says, no. He says, you need to call upon the Lord and be saved. And that man gave the profession to his dying day that I was the last convert of the man named John Harper. You know, if you and I were on the Titanic and we were one of his sheep, do you know that is a whole lot different predicament from those that are saved and those that are lost? I remember reading about that and looking at the list they had in New York. It was one of the papers there, and it said, and it was funny that my first being a Baptist preacher, you know, here's what my mind went to first. They had a list of saved and they had a list of lost. And I thought, how do they know who was saved and who wasn't? And here's what they're talking about. They're talking about physically saved. Let me tell you something, believer. Did you know that death is way overrated for you? You know what happens when you death to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that first moment in glory is going to be far better than all your maybe many years that you had here upon this earth. And it says that those that are Christ's sheep, they are saved, and as they go about, as they go to and fro, he's going to give them pasture, and most of all, that they are secure as his sheep. You see, the Lord's pasturing care for them. Another thing is you see the Savior's love for his sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He giveth his life for his sheep. Now we think of this in two ways. We're going to talk about this in two different ways. The first way that we think about the Lord giving his life for us is on the cross. And the Bible tells us to understand the love of God by the cross. Herein is the love of God perceived, that while we were yet sinners, okay, Christ died for us. We know that he loved us because of the price that he paid for our salvation. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Our Lord said this to his disciples, there that were with him, then also to us. He says, here's how you know how much that I love you, because I'm going to lay down my life for you. But did you know the Lord Jesus, everything that he did here upon this earth was for your benefit and for mine. His growing up and being born in a manger and living with poor parents, gone from the splendor of glory to the world that is gory, and 30 years living, this Son of God, your Creator and mine, living in obscurity and subjecting himself to earthly parents and working the carpenter's work, and then at 30, his earthly ministry, and here the disrespect that he endured and the suffering and the shame. The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his life. That he did that for me, and he did that for you. And he says that any wolf, any outsider that come, he says that I would not flee, that I would stand and fight them. Look at verse number 10. He that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. and a wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is not an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You know, there's many people in this world, maybe the avenue of radio or television or some sort of a politician or world leader on the world stage, or maybe just a cool kid at school, wants to lead other people. You know, it's amazing. How many have a movie that defined specifically like your teen years, that was like your movie that you know, Brother Tickle was the Fonz, right? I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, just think for a second. How many guys do you think joined the Air Force after watching Top Gun? They went out and bought a leather coat and got some nice big tinted sunglasses and said, "Man, I'm gonna fly jets. I'm gonna go in the Air Force." You imagine that? You make a life decision off of watching a movie. You know, that's probably not the worst decision in the world to join the Air Force. I mean, maybe you think, I don't know, it'd be an Army, you do. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, we could have one Air Force representative here this morning. All right. And so, that's probably not the worst decision in the world. But there's all sorts of people that make decisions, life-altering decisions, by following somebody else. Let me tell you something. As if you never did something wrong, unless you first saw somebody else do it and followed somebody else into doing it. Man, if you smoke, you drink, you do drugs, I mean, whatever you do, you first did it. Why? Because you followed somebody else into it. Somebody got involved in immorality, had an immoral person to influence them via TV, the internet, friends and coworkers at work, whatever it is, they followed them into that. And it says here, these shepherds, even these false leaders, these false religions, they do not care about you. They do not care about your soul. And it says, and they will flee when your destruction comes. Hands off. You know, and let me ask you something. You know, these sitcoms on television, do they ever show, you know, they show all these people having a great time at parties. Do they ever show somebody whose liver is gone in a hospital? The same way now. I mean, I remember when I was a kid that you could go in a gas station. I think even some grocery stores, you could go in there and smoke. I remember that. Man, I'm 36, so I'm old, you know? So now, man, I mean, everyone, they put billboards, they put somebody with a tray, you know, a tray can and all this stuff. And they're finally, you know, when I was a kid, man, it was Joe Camel. He was Joe Cool, and he, you know, and it was some guy, you know, and he had a bunch of beautiful women around. And you think, man, if I just smoked, maybe I could finally get a girl. You know, and at the end of these pathways, man, what do they do at the end of these? They desert those. There's no bartender around that works down at the local rescue mission and volunteers his time down there. That's the end thereof. And he's, as soon as your money's spent, as soon as it's all gone, he says, they will flee when no man pursues. He says, but I love the sheep and I will, hey, never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And of course, the Lord loved us in this way. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ laid down his life for us. Last thing, I want you to notice the power of the shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Notice this, that I may take it again. Now, it is nothing for a man to die. We're all going to die. No big thing for someone to die. It is a big thing for someone to be resurrected. Christ wasn't the first person resurrected in the Bible, but he was the one and the only to resurrect himself. He says, here's the power of your shepherd. He says, I lay down my life and I will take it back up again. You know, here God says, I am going to die and then I'm going to resurrect again. Now, this is significant for us, and we'll talk about this in a minute. I want you to notice another thing about his power. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, my life, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these saying, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? This is a reference to chapter number 9. And the man that he healed, I was talking to a friend of mine from Michigan, Scott, this week, and he had to have a surgery on a bulging disc in his neck, and they go through his mouth to his neck. Isn't that interesting? And he says, I was talking to this guy, he kind of threw him off, you know. He says, you ought to, now Scott can, he's fallen down, he's like a grizzly bear, so big and strong, just like me. No, just kidding. He's big and strong, though. He's big, strong. You shook his hand like shaking a bear paw. He's got the strongest handshake of any man I've ever met. He just grab your hand and without even trying, he can just crush your hand. And here he can hardly walk and hardly pick anything up. And he said, you know, I had this guy who mutual person we know. He says, you know, Scott, you ought to not get that surgery. You need to just ask God and pray for God to heal you. And he says, does that make sense to you, Jack? I said, no. In the Bible, everybody who was healed later got sick and died. Did you know that? The guy that had his eyes healed, you know, he later lost his sight in death, okay? I'm sure probably had 20/20 vision to the day he died. I'm sure if Jesus fixes your eyes, you're probably pretty good. Probably don't need glasses again. You know, I'm just guessing. I don't know. But he later got sick and died. You know, every physical healing or resurrection in the Bible, even the people that resurrected, Lazarus resurrected, guess what? He later on died. Every one of those were for an affirmation of Christ's message. Now I want you to know something. These signs were not for the unbelieving, because if you decide you're going to unbelieve, it doesn't matter if it's written across the sky. I just got to tell you that right now. That if the plan of salvation is written across the sky, there's people that would deny it, okay? These signs, these miracles were made for those of you, like me, and you that already believe. There's an affirmation of Christ's power. And you know what? When he healed the blind eyes, you know what he says to the Pharisees? He says, you are blind. You know, he's talking about spiritual blindness. And he used that as a platform to preach about spiritual eyesight. Okay? Pray for healing, but get surgery. Amen? I mean, you know, and so, but you know what God wants us to have faith in? His resurrection power. Paul said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, your shepherd, has the power to change your life. You know what? More than any physical miracle, as proof of Christ's doctrine, is the power of a changed life. Man, you know, you can train some sort of psychiatrist to study, you know, and try to manipulate your brain and try to manipulate the way you think and all this stuff. And let me tell you something. You stop seeing them, guess what you're going to do? You're going to relapse. You're going to fail. And you know what? There's more cases of failure than there ever was of help. Again, I'll tell you something. There is no greater proof of the validity of the Lord Jesus Christ than those whose lives has been changed by their shepherd. You have a shepherd this morning that cares for you, that has gone before you, that has paved the way even through this week. You have no idea what you're going to face this week. But guess what? Jesus does. He knows. He's been there. And he's provided pasture for you there. You have a shepherd that loves you, that's died for you, that has given his life, his whole being for you. And then you have a shepherd who has power to change and to shape the direction of your life. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's have a time of invitation. Lord, we thank you. What would we do without a shepherd this morning? Lord, we thank you that we have a shepherd of our souls. We thank you for the salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And thank you for your leadership and you're guiding day by day, day after day. Help us to rejoice in you at this time. Help us also just to resubmit ourselves to your leadership over us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the pianist plays, heads bowed and eyes closed, just by a testimony of an uplifted hand, you say, I know for sure if I were to die, go to heaven. I know for sure that I am saved. But you slip up your hand, you say, that's me. I bring in the time and place where I received Christ. If you're here, you say, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I don't have that peace and confidence. Would you pray for me? That's my prayer, that I'd be assured that I'd go to heaven someday. All right. God bless you. The altar's open. However God spoke to your heart, you speak to Him.